thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We're going to look at two chapters in Exodus, Exodus chapter 32 and 33. So if you would like to get a Bible, would you raise your hand? And if those of you in the back could help out a little bit and run those Bibles up here. At least there was someone there going to help me. Can someone help me with those Bibles and grab those? Anybody need a Bible? You want to follow along? Oh, everyone's cool? No, here we go, up here, if you will. Yeah, I think it'd be helpful if you follow along in this story found in Exodus chapter 32 and 33. We're going to kind of walk through both those chapters, mostly chapter 33. Simplify is the title of a series that we're beginning this evening, and it'll run for 4 Wednesdays. And I guess under that title is our purpose is to unclutter our soul. Unclutter our soul. That alone kind of speaks to me right away, because it just kind of sends up all kinds of flags in my own heart and mind that, ooh, that's kind of me. And a lot of times just I allow my soul to get cluttered, not necessarily with what I would say bad things, but this is more about busy things, about maybe rearranging our priorities, not allowing ourselves to drift away or be distracted by those things that are not as important as they ought to be in our lives, okay? So simplify. So let's begin here with this question. Where do you start? Both of them came up at the same time. With this first, where do you start? And really, the answer to that question is, who do you want to become? Where do you start? When we talk about simplifying our lives or uncluttering our soul, where do you start? And I think you have to start by asking yourself this question and try to come up with an answer. Who do you want to become? If you take the life that God's going to give you, and obviously everyone that's here and breathing, we're alive so far, so he's given us this much. How much more, we really don't know. But whether it be 70, 80, 90, 100 years, who do you want to become at that period of time? And especially that time that is used as you want to follow the Lord. And you begin to understand and know his purposes. So maybe think about that a little bit. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? That's the promise. Come to me. So, if you make a decision to come to Christ and follow him, we know that, I don't know about you, but at that time I came to Christ, I was carrying a whole lot of burdens. I was carrying weight. I did acknowledge those weights. I did not acknowledge those burdens, but they were there. I was unaware of them, but I was carrying a whole lot of baggage. You probably weren't like that at all. Turn to someone and say, don't lie tonight. Don't lie to yourself. But we were unaware of it. We were just carrying things around that just were burdens, heavy laden, and a lot of things. You might not have recognized it. But the promise when you follow Jesus, here's what I'm getting to. He said, I will give you rest. Say that with me. I will give you rest. Now, let's be honest, because here's where I'm headed with what I just said before that. If we're honest with one another, how many would say, there are just a whole lot of times that I don't sense that rest? Come on. Even following Jesus. But I'm to be following Jesus, and I'm supposed to have this rest, but it's just not there. Now, I would say if I look at my overall life, I have to say, yes, it's a lot better than it was. Matter of fact, it's thousands of times better than it was. But there are times when I'm just not resting like I ought to rest, if I believe this. Look at another verse here. In John, it says, I have come, and Jesus is speaking here, say it with me, that they may have what? And I believe that really talks about they're going to have eternal life. But he goes on and says, and that they may have it more abundantly. So again, Jesus has come. And I don't think this abundant life is talking about eternal life. Because once you have eternal life and enter into eternity, it doesn't get any more abundant. Right? I mean, it's like you've reached the ultimate life. So the abundant life, I think, is directed toward this life here. God wants us to have an abundant life, which is a fruitful life. It's a full life. It's a good life. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. We all know this. We might even sing this at the end. Those who wait upon the Lord, say it with me, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a great promise. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up like wings of an eagle. We talked about eagles one time. Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Those are tremendous promises about rest, about really an uncluttered soul, one that is free, be able to do what God has called us to do. Now, I want to begin to look at some verses here. First of all, let's begin with Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. The situation of the setting, I should say, is more as Moses now is leading the children of Israel, and they're being led through the wilderness to the promised land that God is going to give to them. They have already experienced the power of God over and over and over again. In the land of Egypt, they saw his miraculous hand that was upon Moses in convincing Pharaoh to let him go. They saw the hand of God. Even before they got to the splitting of the sea, they saw the hand of God by the pillar that came down and separated them from the onslaught of the enemy. Do you remember that? When the enemy was coming, God raised up a pillar of fire. Come on, you had to see Exodus. Everybody, even if you didn't read this, you had to see Exodus and understand that. But that pillar of fire, so God was already moving in their behalf. And then he splits the sea. And then they go over in dry land. And then the sea comes back and drowns the army of Egypt that have been their taskmasters for how many years? And just the relief of seeing their enemy swallowed up by that sea. Well, so much so that they grabbed their tambourines led by Moses' sister Miriam, and they danced and they sang and they shouted. They had a good old Pentecostal meeting is what they had on that side of the river. And then they begin to walk with the Lord. So there were a lot of signs already that God was with them and that God was going to be faithful to them. And that's what God was doing. He was showing them that he could be trusted. How many know that God can be trusted? He's done enough in your life already. He doesn't have to do any more in your life to tell you and show you that he can be trusted. But it just seems like we're always looking for, just show me one more thing. Just one more thing, God, and then I'll trust you. Or just one more miracle, or just answer one more prayer. And because of that attitude, we're not at rest. We're cluttered. We're just kind of weighed down. We're carrying weights. And because you just can't find that rest if you're not going to trust the one who's already been faithful. So here we come to where he's up in the mountain. He's getting the commandments. And verse 1, this is such a powerful verse, but it should speak to each and every one of us today. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed, say delayed. Okay, hang on to that word. Coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, how could they be saying this? This Moses had proven himself to be a man of God that heard the voice of God. They doubted him several times, but he came through each and every time. And they're still questioning God's hand on their life, leading in their life. And so before we blame them too quickly, kind of think about our walks. Come, let us make gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, they even in their statement, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, this Moses, questioning his character and whether or not he'll really come back, but yet also acknowledging he's the one that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Now, this spoke to me in a very convicting way years and years ago, and I hope it convicts you, because I hate to be convicted by myself. But here is the conviction of this is that, you know, just because God doesn't answer overnight, we turn to other sources. And the moment we turn to other sources is the moment we're cluttering our soul. And we're moving out of that place of rest, that place of faith, that place of trust, and we're moving in that dangerous, dangerous area where we become more and more vulnerable to the attack of the enemy because we're kind of out from under the covering. You follow what I'm saying there? I'm trying to make this simple, this message on simplify. Did you get all that? Really simple, so we understand. But that's what we do. So they immediately said, he delays. And because we don't know if he's going to show up. They're really saying, we don't know if God's really with us. This God that Moses was telling us is going to take us into the land of Israel, we don't really know if that's true. So we decide to follow Jesus. We're walking along, and we're all hyped up about faith when we first believe because we're so delivered. We're so excited about that deliverance and those weights that are initially lifted off our hearts. But man, it doesn't take us very long to fall down and begin to doubt and begin to question and begin to murmur and begin to complain. And we might not even do it to other people, but it's just that relationship that we have with God is not one of rest. And God doesn't want us living in that place at all. Okay. Chapter 33. Let me read this, okay? It's Wednesday night. Come on. I don't get to do this always on Sunday. We just seem like we're so not simplified. Chapter 33. Let's listen to this story. It's a great story. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here. This is after he dealt out. All chapter 32 then, he throws the commandments down. There's judgment that takes place, and now they're ready to move on. So that's where we're at now. Go up from here, you and the people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Hivites, the Jebusites, go up from the land flowing with milk and honey, and I will not go, and I will go, not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments, for the Lord said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what is to do with you, what to do with you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent. He pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at the tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. So the tent, the pre-tabernacle was Moses' tent. Did you ever catch that? Catch that there. That was the tabernacle before the tabernacle was built. When Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Wow. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. How many want that kind of relationship with the Lord? Wow. As a man speaks to his friend. And he returned to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. He wanted more. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people." Now this is Moses speaking to the Lord. "But you have not let me know whom you will send with me." See, Moses had heard where God is still kind of upset with the people. They're stiff-necked people. "I'm not going to go up with you. You'll be consumed. Yet you have not said, I know, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you" what? "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us?" I don't know if you're catching this already. The link between rest and God's presence, and the link between what's going to make a distinction in your life than other lives around you, is that you walk in the presence of God. "So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please, show me your glory." You know, I like a man like Moses. He just wanted more and more and more. So God says, he's speaking to God face to face. He calls him his friend, and yet he still says, "Listen, show me your glory." I don't think ever in this lifetime you can be ever satisfied until you keep pursuing the presence of God, the glory of God, all of that in this life. Who do you want to become? And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion and whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face." Hard to understand. He saw him face to face, but you cannot see my face. "For no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is the place in me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." I want to give you three things that I think will be helpful to you in simplifying or uncluttering your soul. Number one, we need to be patient. We need to wait on the Lord. Don't take things in your own matter. We've got to stop. We've got to stop this. You know, it's just like the people waited and Moses was up there and he wasn't coming back. And so they were kind of let their minds run wild and what was going to happen. And as a result, they go to Aaron and say, "Make us some other gods. We need something." So they were turning to other sources or resources. You've got to learn to wait on the Lord. When the answer isn't coming, don't turn to other things. Don't try to take it upon yourself because, listen, there is no hope for you to have the kind of rest that God's talking about if you try to take control, because that's where we were before. And that's when there was no rest. That's when there was no peace. That's when the heavy burdens and life was so heavy that way. Why take that upon ourselves again? And you got to learn how to wait on the Lord. They made themselves That's what verse 1 said. They made themselves gods. So we try to make something ourselves. It's for ourselves. The second one is go with God. So you wait on God, and then you go with God. See, Moses, and I read here, did you catch Moses' heart? Moses was more concerned with God's will and ways than his own. We've got to come to the place where that we're more concerned about what God is trying to do in our life than what we have tried to do with our life or want to do with our life. He spoke, verse 11 said, as a friend. You have to take time. If you're going to go with God, you have to take time to build a relationship like this. It doesn't come overnight. You don't breeze into it every so often. You just don't just kind of run into church on Sunday morning and then run out and then go back into taking things upon yourself. That's not going with God. Just because you go to church on Sunday or just because you take a little time now and then, that doesn't build a relationship. Moses pursued. He pressed on. If you want to go with God, you've got to go with God. Don't go half-heartedly, go with your whole heart. Go with God. If you want to simplify your life, you have to cultivate it. You have to take time in building a relationship with God. You are here tonight. When I thought at this point, here I am probably going to preach to the choir because you're Wednesday night folks. You really are, and I commend you for that. You've taken steps. You're here tonight. There's a reason. You want more. You're hungry for more. That's the way you build a relationship. That's good. You have to be intentional about it. So on a daily, how intentional are you? Is just when you say you want to go with God, but to build the kind of relationship that Moses had, where he was a friend. If you're going to be a friend with someone, you hang around them, right? You do. You hang around them. You're concerned about what's going on in their lives. You call them up. You text them. You build that relationship all the time. They don't expect just like in 2 months and, you know, text them and then you're going to have a friendship. There's an investment. There's a depth about it. You see, Moses, he was angry too. God was angry, but Moses was upset. But I think what Moses was most upset about when he threw those stone tablets down, I think what Moses was upset about, and think it, as a leader, I can relate to this somewhat, is just that Moses saw the vision that God had for the people. He knew what God had for him. He was taken to a promised land. God had good things in mind. God has good things in mind for us. That's a great word that Jason had for, and those of you hang on to that word tonight, that man might seem like he forsakes you, or he does forsake you, and doesn't pay attention to you, doesn't acknowledge you, but God knows exactly where you're at. And he has all kind of good plans for you, and they're not bad plans at all. They're all good plans, Jeremiah 29:11. But Moses was upset because the people lost their vision. They just lost the vision of what God had in mind for them. They were, and we read this in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 105, where it says the difference between Moses and the people is that Moses knew God and the people only knew his ways. There's a big difference there. I just don't want to know him for what he does for me. I just don't want to know him because he does miracles now and then. That's not the way I want to know God, because the miracles come and go. I want to in-depth relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God invites us into that relationship. And it's one where you invest in, you're intentional about it. There's depth to it. You take time to build that relationship. So you wait on God and you're going to go with God. Moses wanted more for the people. There's nothing in this world that can competes with or compares with going with God, building that relationship. All that God has done for us. Can you imagine that? Go with God. Nothing good happens when we go any other way. The last one, So you wait on God, you go with God, and let God go with you. I'll explain. Let God go with you. Let God go with you. I was thinking about this, that when you're building an intimate relationship and you have an intimate relationship or a friendship with someone, you want that someone to be with you. I was just thinking recently, and there's a couple things that, you know, that I had a sinus surgery just here about less than a month ago, and deviated septum straightened out. But I wanted Cheryl to be there. You know, you want the one you love to be there with you. You understand what I'm saying there? You want them to be there. I wanted people to be there. Sure, I could have gone and could have gone home and made it and be macho about it and all. But all that. But I didn't even want to be macho about it. I wanted her to be there, you know? So how much do you want God to be going with you? Do you think of them that way, that God, wherever go, I want you to be there, God? I think sometimes we're saying, God, why don't you just hang here? Because we're probably not going where we should be going. So you want people. What I was saying by wanting Cheryl there, this is a big deal to me. You know, it's a big deal. It's important that you go with me, you know. And it's important that God goes with me. And you can assume that's going to be that way. You could take for granted that's going to be. That's not the same, I don't think. You say, well, God's going to be with you. Yeah, that's almost like an assumption. That's almost taken for granted. I want to be able to say, God, come with me. I've got this meeting today. I've got this conflict today. Lord, just going to work. Lord, I don't even want to drive the car. I don't want to get in the car unless you're going to be in that car and go to work with me. I just don't want it to be another day at the office. Lord, I want you to go with me. But I think I'm saying more than just go with me. I think I'm saying, God, that, I mean more to that. Lord, I want to become more what you want me to be. I want to grow more intimate with you. Moses was ready to lead the people. I mean, he stood up for the people, even though they were stiff-necked. But look what he said in verse 15 of chapter 33. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses was saying, I'd rather stay here. Just if your presence doesn't go, God, I don't care what you do. You can send all your angels. You can send an army ahead of us, and I know they'll probably take care of us and all of that. But, Lord, that doesn't compare. I don't want that. I want you, Lord. So let's just not want what God is going to send his armies and rebuke the devil for us. I want God. This relationship is one that we have with God. I want God to go with us. Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 follows up on that. It says, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. This is what God responds. For you have what? Found grace in my sight. And I know you by name. I want to tell you, God knows your heart. God knows how hungry you are for him to go with you. And I don't think there's any father on earth. Well, maybe on earth there is. Unfortunately. But what father doesn't like it when their child says, could you come with me? Can you help me with this? Would you spend time with me? Come on. What kid, what father doesn't like to hear those words? I think our Heavenly Father loves it more than any of them. Just for us to say, would you go with me? Sounds pretty simple. Would you help me with this? God knows the postures of our heart. He does. And do you know how he knows the posture of our hearts? By the way we invest our lives. We choose chaos or you choose peace. You could choose badness or you choose simplicity. You choose to make it your own deal or you choose to make it his. You can live in that I'm too busy or And I could mention a whole lot of things to put us all on guilt trips that are not bad things. But, you know, it's the soccer mom, it's the businessman, it's the plumber, we put all these things ahead and we clutter our lives with it, all these things that are not bad things, and yet how much time do we really invest in this relationship with God?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.